It's not about what you have done or what you can do, but it's about what Jesus has already done. If we can get this truth into our spirits, we will be different people. So over the next couple of weeks, I will hammer home this message again and again using different illustrations. It's not about anything that we have done. So when we come to pray for people, it's nothing to do with us. It's about what Jesus has already done. Because so often we don't pray for people because we think, well, what if nothing happens? What will they think of me if nothing happens? Well, it's not to do with you. It's all about what Jesus has already done. And we have that. The enemy is subtle in us that he makes us believe that we are unworthy ministers of his grace. That we are not good enough, that we are not prayed up enough, that we don't know theology well enough, that we haven't fasted enough, that we haven't done all this. But it's not about what you've done or what you can do, but it's about what Jesus has already done. And God uses all kinds of people, and God can use you. I want you to consider some of the key people in Scripture, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Let's think about them for a moment. Moses. Moses, the great patriarch, is that the right word for him? Or the great leader of the people of Israel. He was the one who heard from God, had that encounter with God at the burning bush, and he raised his staff and the Red Sea parted and the children of Israel went through. He was the one that raised his staff and water came out of the rock when they were hungry. He was the one who prayed to God and manna came down and fed the children in the wilderness for 40 years. So Moses was a great person. And also, when we think about it, he wrote the first five books of the Bible. He wrote what we call the Pentateuch, and so he is a great contributor to the Old Testament, a great hero, shall we say, of the Old Testament. Another hero of the Old Testament, we could say, is King David. And if we start with him, we recognize that he was somebody who is introduced to us, who killed Goliath. We remember the Sunday school story. Well, it's not a Sunday school story, but it's a true story. But we heard about it in Sunday school and we enjoyed that story about how he slew the giant Philistine Goliath, who was shouting out taunts to the Israelites, and he just got one slingshot and sorted him out, chopped his head off, and he was a great hero. And he won great wars against the enemies of Israel. And of course, he is the great writer of the Psalms. Moses wrote the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. David wrote the Psalms, of which we read today, and a great meditative, contemplative pieces of Scripture to encourage us and bless us. Well, that's the Old Testament. If we go into the New Testament, we meet Paul, who is perhaps the most prolific writer of the New Testament. Most of our New Testament theology, where does it rest at the hands of? It rests at the hands of Paul. So he wrote the letters to the Corinthians, to the Ephesians, to the Philippians and Colossians, and he wrote 1 and 2 Timothy and countless more books that perhaps I've omitted to mention right at this stage. He had those great missionary journeys and took the gospel to the places where it had never been before. So three great heroes of the Bible: Moses, David, and Paul. Now tell me one thing that they had in common. Yes, they were all murderers. And I tell you that story just to illustrate, if God could use a murderer, he can use you. Because it's not about what you have done or what you can do. It's all about what Jesus has already done. So just get that into your spirits, that it doesn't matter how, you know, it's not about how good you are, about you. It's all about Jesus. In fact, did I tell you the other day that I was listening to a sermon by Daniel Kalender? Is it Daniel Kalender? He's the Reinhard Bonnke's right-hand man. And he was actually saying that, you know, he's a great healing evangelist, so he preaches to millions actually in Africa, and he has these great crusades, and he prays for people, and he sees people healed. He actually said that the easiest part of his ministry is praying for the sick, because he doesn't have to do anything, because Jesus has already done it. And I thought that's very interesting, because, you know, as a preacher, he has to prepare, he has to get all his bits and pieces together, he has to get all his verses in order, and his Bible notes together, and he has to do his study, and he has to do his prayer, and he has to pray and prepare so that when he delivers his message, the people are ready to understand it. So there's a little bit of effort that's required on his part as he prepares to preach. But when he comes to pray for the sick, he doesn't have to do anything because Jesus has already done it. And something else that he said in that same sermon, which I thought was quite amusing as well, and that is that somebody came up to him and he said, "You go on about all these signs and wonders, Daniel, but I don't believe it. I don't believe it. You know, This praying that the praying for the dead that they might be raised, you know, I don't buy that one." So Daniel Kalender said to this chap, he says, "Well, when was the last time you prayed for somebody to be raised from the dead?" And he says, "Well, never prayed for somebody to be raised from the dead." He says, "Well, there you are. That's why you've not seen it." And we can come to God, can't we? Some of us. We might come to God. A lot of Christians might come to God. "We don't believe in this healing." "Well, how many people have you prayed for?" "Well, I haven't prayed for anybody." "Well, there you are then. You aren't going to see people healed. You aren't going to see people delivered. You aren't going to see people set free unless you say something, unless you pray for them." So there's something there just to ponder. Okay. It's not about me. Or what we have done, it's about what Jesus has already done. Let's have a quick review of where we were last week now and think about hearing from God, because hearing from God is very important. Because unless we hear from God, we don't know what to do, what to say, and when to say it. So when we sort of when we meet somebody in the street, or we meet somebody at the supermarket, or we meet somebody at the bank, or at the school gate, or at our place of work, we need to be able to be sensitive to God's leading, so that we know, well, Lord, you want me to pray for so and so. But when do you want me to pray for so-and-so? And what do you want me to pray for so-and-so? What would you like me to say to them? So we need to have a sensitive ear to God to be able to minister effectively. So this is where we were sort of going last week. And I shared this scripture from Luke 8 about the parable of the sower. And just really used it as a sort of a demonstration of the way that the seed falls and the way that the word of God falls. So some falls on rocky ground, so and it gets nowhere. So some people, the word of God just bounces off. You know, they don't absorb it. They don't listen at all. And maybe it's because they don't want to listen, or they don't want to listen. This is very interesting as well, because here's a point. Because if you're a believer, And you're walking in sin, you won't want to hear what God has to say about your sin, all right? Because you are uncomfortable about it. So some people don't want to hear from God because they don't want to hear what he says. So if there is immorality in your life, if there's sexual immorality or whatever, people in the world don't want to hear from God because they don't want to hear what he says. Now, we've talked about grace. There is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And we've talked about how sin doesn't make a difference to for God being able to use us, because he used a murderer, for example. But of course, we repent from sin. And Romans 8 is all about not continuing to sin, because we're not shall we continue to sin so that grace abounds? By no means. And of course, we follow what God says, we do what God says, because those who love me follow my commands. says John, oh, can't remember the scripture off the top of my head. So some people deliberately don't want to hear from God because they don't want to hear the truth, because they want to continue to behave in the way that they are behaving. Some people are proud, so they reject the word of God. Some people hear, but it's lost in the noise. But if you desire to hear God's voice, you are on the right track. And then we looked at 1 Kings 9:11 to 12. And this is important here. The Lord said, go out and stand in the mountains in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. But if I was to say to most people, most churchgoers, does God speak to you? They'd say, oh no, 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 no. God really speaks to me. And the reason why they say that God rarely speaks to them is because they're expecting that when God speaks to them, he is going to speak in a spectacular fashion. There's going to be an earthquake, there's going to be a bolt of lightning, there's going to be thunder, there's going to be the ground shaking. So unless there's that great booming voice from heaven, they don't think that God has actually spoken to them. But this scripture reminds us that God speaks to us in a gentle whisper. And he speaks to our spirits, spirit to spirit. He speaks to our heart. Let's look at a few scriptures that demonstrate this. Here we go. I tell you the truth, I'm not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. So Paul is talking about the Holy Spirit bearing witness to his conscience. In other words, we can just put it a bit more plainly, the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. He makes an impression upon our hearts so that we know that we know. Okay, so the next one. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. So again, the Spirit speaks to Peter, but he does so through the inner witness, through the Holy Spirit. Not some great writing in the sky, some aeroplane pulling a banner by its tail saying, this is what you should do. But the Spirit witnesses to our spirit. The Spirit speaks to our hearts so that there is that inner impression in our hearts as what we need to do next. This is how the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And you might say to me, Ian, well, I've never known that happen. Well, yes, you have. Because when you became a believer, what did you do? You responded to that inner witness, to God speaking to you in your heart, in your spirit, to your spirit, that you needed to make a response to him. And also when you perhaps listen to a preacher, and the preacher preaches away, and the preacher calls for a response and says, come forward, I want to pray for you. And you might come forward and you say, Pastor, your message really spoke to me. Well, actually, it wasn't me that was speaking to you. It wasn't my words, but it was the Holy Spirit that was impressing something upon your heart. So I can guarantee to you that most people have had that kind of experience where the Holy Spirit has impressed upon them something that is true, something that has caused them to do something. And you have that same experience when you read the scripture. Sometimes you can read the scripture and you read a passage and suddenly the Holy Spirit makes real a verse that's never really stood out to you before. You may have been a Christian for 40 or 50 years. We won't go any higher than 40 or 50. You may have been a Christian for a long, long time. But there you are reading the scripture and suddenly the words jump out the page at you like they've never jumped out the page at you before. What's happening? God is speaking to you, not in a big booming voice, not through an earthquake, not through a bolt of lightning, not through a burning bush even, but gently in a quiet whisper to your spirit, spirit to spirit. Let's look at John 10:3-5. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his all his own. He goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. They hear his voice because they know his voice. That's interesting. It doesn't say they can know his voice. It says that they should know his voice. So there's something wrong sometimes. And I think sometimes it's because we do not appreciate how God speaks to us. It's a bit like, you remember Samuel in the Old Testament. And God was speaking to him. And three times, was it, he went to Eli, the priest, and said, in the middle of the night, Eli, you're calling me. What are you saying to me? And Eli says, so I'm not calling you. And three times this happens. It's not me that's calling you. Actually, it was God speaking to him. And often, I believe, I put it to you, that often we do not recognize that God is actually speaking to us when he is. Sheep know his voice. So often we think, oh, that was just me. But it's actually God that is prompting you. So there might be occasions, here's another example of how it might happen. It might be occasions when you're sat on your settee, minding your own business, having a cup of tea, looking out the window, and suddenly you feel that impression that the Holy Spirit gives you. You start thinking of somebody else that you know. And then the Holy Spirit says, ring them up. So you ring them up. And you say, well, I don't know why I'm ringing them up, but I'm going to ring them up. And you're prompted to ring them up. And they say, oh, I'm glad, so glad that you rang. Because I was just so down. I'm so pleased that you rang. And really what it is, it was the Holy Spirit that was prompting you to do that. We just need to discern these things from the Holy Spirit who's prompting us. I was reading or hearing a testimony actually of about some chap who had a similar experience, and he really felt that God was impressing upon him to ring somebody up. And so he just couldn't get it out of his mind. So at the end of the day, he thought, well, I'm going to ring him up anyway. I'm going to ring him up anyway. So he rang him up. And he rang him up. And he says, hello, is that you, Joe? The phone was answered. Is that you, Joe? And there was silence at the other end, and the phone went dead. And this chap said, well, there you are then. That proves it. I thought it wasn't God. So yeah, I knew it was just me. 30 seconds later, the phone went again. And it was the chap that he'd just called. And he says, I'm sorry that I didn't say anything when you spoke to me and I answered the phone earlier on, because I was so gobsmacked that the phone had rung and it was you, because I had just prayed that I needed somebody to ring me up because I was so desperate and I needed somebody to encourage you. And the moment that I'd finished the amen to my prayer, you rang. And I was so gobsmacked that I just had to put the phone down. About listening to God and discerning to his voice. And discerning his voice. So God speaks to our spirits with thoughts and impressions to our heart. We know we just have to do something. We know that we just have to say something. And you may have heard me say the other week that I had this experience the other week where I just knew that I had to do something. I knew that there was somebody that was ill in hospital, and I thought to myself, well, oh, perhaps I'll go and see them. But then I sort of thought to myself, well, I've had a long day, I'm quite busy tomorrow, perhaps I'll leave it for another occasion. And then on the Sunday night, I had to come down back here because we'd left the banner out. And I came back here at 8:30, and I got to that junction here, and I thought to myself, shall I go up to the infirmary now? It was 8:30 in the evening on a Sunday night, and see this lady, because I really felt the Lord was prompting me, and I thought, no, I won't bother. And then the next day, somebody had to ring me up and say, Ian, I think you ought to go and see so-and-so. And then I knew that it was really God. Now, why did it take me so long to respond to the word of God? I do not know. But we should be people who are obedient to his word. And of course, I went to see her and was able to share some good news with her. Oh, We were created to instinctively know the voice of God. Think about it for a moment. You mothers perhaps might identify with it more than the men, but I'm sure the men will identify with it as well. Think about it. I'd share an illustration from when Joshua was just this high. About three, how old are you when you're 3 or 4? About that high. I don't know, perhaps even a bit taller. When he was only about 3 or 4. And he was at a playgroup across at Trinity Church across there. 20 kids in the group. And what happened at 12 o'clock, you used to go and collect your kids, and it was only half day, you collect your kids and you take them home. At about 10 to 5 to 12, all the mothers and all the fathers, whoever was collecting the child from the nursery, would stand outside the door, ready for the doors to be opened. And when the doors were opened at 12 o'clock, you could then go and collect your children. You couldn't go in of your own accord. You had to wait for the doors to be opened up by the nursery staff. And the parents would all be stood there, and girl would say, out of all the kids that were making a noise, that is Joshua crying. And you mums will know, you grandparents will know, you know the cry of your own child. And likewise, the child knows the sound of its own mother. So there's the child that's crying in the nursery, and they've all got their hands in their arms and they're sobbing away, and they hear all the voices of all the other parents. They hear all the voices of the other children. They hear the voice of the mother, and they're quiet. That's because we are instinctively hardwired to know the voice of our parents and our children. I put it to you that we are instinctively hardwired to hear the voice of God. But just as the sense that Joshua has now to sense his mother's voice in the crowd, and just as Gal has lost that sense of knowing Joshua's voice in the crowd, I think as a church, sometimes we have lost that sense of discerning God's voice in the crowd. And what we need to be people who are doing, we need to be people who are listening, who are expecting. Now, I started off by saying that when we're expecting, we don't go away disappointed. So when you're expecting a parcel from the postman or yodel or whatever, especially if it's yodel, I say to Gal, I'm expecting a yodel delivery. Be very careful. You have to be very careful with yodel, because if you don't answer the phone, answer the door, they're off, aren't they? You know. So all day, Gal behaves in a manner of expectancy for the parcel. Her behaviour is modified. She doesn't go out the back. She doesn't turn the Hoover on loud, so she doesn't hear so the knock of the door isn't crowded out. Her behaviour is modified so that she has an ear to hear the yodel delivery when it comes. I put it to you that we need to be similarly sensitive and expectant to God's voice. And then we won't miss it. You see, if we're not listening, we'll miss it. If we're not listening for the postman, we'll miss him. And the parcel will go back. And we need to be those people who have an ear to God, so that when he speaks, we don't miss what he's saying. Because God is wanting to talk. God is wanting to communicate. God is wanting to tell you the things that he has for you, the things that he wants you to say to other people, the things that he wants you to encourage other people with, the things that he wants you to pray for people, when to pray for you. And unless one of the things that people say to me is, Ian, this is all right, but I don't know when to pray or what to pray or how to, or what to pray. And the key here is having a sensitive ear to God's voice, ministering to our spirit. So I want to encourage you even this week that when you sit down with the Word, see, this is a good place to start with your Bible. Speak to me, Lord. What have you got to say to me? What word of encouragement have you got for me today? What word have you got to me that's going to change my life and make me more like Jesus? Speak to me, Lord. Get the used to hearing God's voice, so that when there is a noise, you can still hear His voice. You may have heard me tell you this illustration before. I think it's a good illustration, so I'll share it again. There were a number of candidates that were interviewed for a job at GCHQ, the Government Spy Centre. And they were taken to a room, a waiting room, where they were given tea and coffee, and they were told to wait until they were called. So the five candidates stood and they talked with one another, and they waited to be called, and they had a little chat, and they helped themselves to coffee and the biscuits and more coffee and biscuits, and had a good old laugh and what have you. And after about an hour, the lady that had introduced them to the room and shown them the coffee came in and said, "It's all right, you can go home now. We have interviewed the successful candidate, and the job is filled." And they looked at one another and said, "Well, you know, you didn't call us." You know, and then they suddenly realised that there weren't five of them left. There were only four of them left. One had gone. And they thought to say, "You never called us. You never called us. You know, this isn't fair." And they said, "Yes, you were called, but only one of you was listening." Because over the muzak, is that the right word for it? Over the muzak, over the background music, over the loudspeaker system that was playing soft music in the room where they were enjoying their refreshments before the interview, the clever folks at GCHQ had played a Morse code pulse, which meant, if you understand this, will you now go to room whatever it was for your interview? Only one person was listening. Only one person went to the interview. Only one person got the job. Why do I tell you this story? Because God is broadcasting 24 hours a day. He's got something to say to us. We need to be people who are listening. God does speak to you. He wants to continue to speak to you. God does speak to your spirit. He speaks to your heart. He's got things to tell you, things to encourage you with, things to give you strategy, things to change your life, to make you more like Christ. But unless we take that time to listen, we're going to miss out. We were instinctively wired to hear His voice. Let's spend that time with Him so that we hear His voice again. You see, one of the reasons why that baby knows the mother's voice is because he hears the mother's voice so much. When Gail rings me up on the telephone, she says, "Hello, can you go to Co-op and get some milk?" She doesn't need to say, "This is your wife, Gail, speaking. You know that person that you married?" She doesn't need to say that because I already know her voice, because I know her. I'm used to hearing it. Oh, you are a lot tonight. This is the bit of my message, that where God's speaking to you. Do you hear what I'm saying? We need to get used to hearing God's voice. The more we hear God's voice, the more we will discern it amongst all the noise that's going on. I want to encourage you even this week to pray every day, "Lord, I'm expecting you to speak to me this week. I'm expecting you to speak to me throughout the day. Help me hear you. Because you hardwired me to hear your voice. I don't want to miss out. It's not that you haven't got anything to say. It's just that I'm not listening. Help me to listen. And do you know what? You'll be amazed at what God prompts you to do and the blessing that you are to people throughout this week. Now, okay, I've perhaps left it on a cliffhanger again this evening, because next week we'll talk about how we can discern God's voice even more. But that's where I'm going to leave it tonight. And I want to encourage you to come back with testimonies of how God has spoken to you this last week or this coming week, so that we can all encourage one another. And just demystify the whole thing.
Can I say something? Get tuned in.
Get tuned in, that's right. Okay, get your aerial up and get tuned in. Yeah. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, that you are a God who wants to speak to us. Father, thank you that you have good things to say to us. Father, thank you that you want to reveal wonderful things to us. You want to give us a greater revelation of who you are. You want to give us a greater revelation of that power that resides within us by the Holy Spirit. You want to give us direction of how to pray for people, when to pray for people, what to pray for people. Father, but it all starts with hearing your voice. And I, Father, thank you that it's not you that is reluctant, but Father, it's us who are not tuned in. So Lord, Father, help us to tune in. Help us to recognize that you want to speak to us. We are not perfect. We're not people who have fasted for months on end. We've not people who have read the Bible backwards and memorized it from cover to cover. But we are just your humble servants. It's nothing to do with what we have done, but everything that Jesus has done. And Father, as we make ourselves available to your hearing your voice, we will hear it. And so Father, this week I, Father, pray that we would be amazed at what you say to us, and the difference that you make by doing so, by being a blessing to us and a blessing to other people. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.